may take your seat. Today we are, as we continue through the epistles of John, we are in 3 John. 3 John, and I am going to read the whole letter just for the sake of the context. We're going to focus on the first 8 verses this Sunday, and Lord willing, next week on the last part. 3 John, the whole chapter. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers, and they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore we ought to support such men, so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we had our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write to you, but I am not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we will speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. So far, the reading of God's Word. As I said, we're going to focus on the first part of this letter. Now, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, in 1 John, the focus of the apostle was specifically on the fellowship with God. In the second epistle, the focus was more on the fact that he forbid us to have fellowship with false teachers, and how careful we need to be, even with those that we allow into our homes. And here in 3 John, he encouraged us to support those who go out and proclaim the truth. Thus, the message summary for today is loving the truth, supporting the truth. So let us start making our way through this short letter. First thing to take note of is that you will agree this is a very personal letter. It is one of 2 letters that was not written to a church, but to only an individual, Philemon being the other one. It is clear that John loved his brother very sincerely. He called him well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. And it appears that Gaius was a member of one of the churches John ministered to. And you might ask if there's any other information about this Gaius, and I've read quite a bit on this, but there are some that say yes, he was connected to Paul in some other ways, but really, apart from what we read in this passage, we don't know much about this specific Gaius. Gaius was a common name during that time, and we find the name in several other places in the scriptures, like in Acts 3 places, Acts 19, 29, Acts 20, verse 4, and 16, 23, and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. And it seems like some of those men are the same one that Paul speaks about in Romans chapter 16, 23. However, there is no indication that the Gaius John wrote to here is any of these men, and in a way associated to them. So let us start looking at the character of this man, because you heard they were, and that was my temptation. Should I focus on the characters, or should I just ask my preference always is to just work systematically through the word. There's three people here, Demetrius, then there's Diotrephes, and then there's Gaius. And then, of course, James himself. Let's focus on the character of Gaius, because that is something that is very clearly pictured to us here in the first part of this letter. John prayed for Gaius. Some translations have the verb that he used there as a wish. Look at, I pray in verse 2, that in all aspects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Clearly, when you look at those words, Gaius was definitely a godly man. But I want you to see what the measure was here. The measure was his spiritual life. John prayed that all other aspects of his life will be prosperous just as his soul prospers. So you can, what is he doing here? Think about it. When you and I ask each other, how are you doing? It is not always our intention to find out how someone's soul is prospering, how he's doing spiritually, if at all. That is not always our first focus. No, we want to know, how's life? How's business? How have you physically been doing? Here it is a matter of, I pray that your life physically and that your life materially will be as prosperous as your spiritual life. So let me ask you, if your physical and material state would look like your spiritual state, what would it look like? Something to think about. The first thing I want to focus on as we continue through this letter is loving the truth. Back to this relationship between these two brothers, we see John said he loves Gaius in truth. We have seen this same expression in John's letter to the church he wrote to in 2 John. You would remember he used a very strange expression there for the church when he said, to the lady and her children whom I love in truth. He wrote it to the church. For John, always love and truth belongs together like a married couple. They should not be separated. Love and truth. The love John and Gaius had for each other is described by the word that John uses there, for love. He used the word agape. And this word is always used for the love of God, of the love of God for us. There is literally no other word that can describe the self-sacrificing love of God for us than this word. God's love for us, and therefore also believers' love for one another, is defined by a relationship with God ultimately in Jesus Christ. That's what that love is about. And simultaneously for both men, this was the truth that their lives were based upon. It is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ as the one through whom God revealed himself to his people and showed us how much he loved us, that he sent his son to die on a cursed cross, bore the wrath of God, was buried and raised again from the grave on the third day. Yes, Jesus himself became the embodiment of the truth for the church. With right, he said on himself, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So once again, the church is not just, as I said 2 weeks ago, a bunch of people joined together because we are alike in personalities. On the contrary, or because we show common interests, or because we have similar emotions. No, our love is based upon the fact that God has shown us mercy and grace, that He has drawn us unto Himself, that we could know this love and truth. It is by His grace and His mercy that we have received the same Holy Spirit to believe in Jesus Christ. It is by His grace and mercy that He directed His wrath upon Christ and freed us all from that terrible wrath and reconciled us unto Himself. And clearly, that was not only true of John. That was also the testimony of Gaius. If you look at verse 3, that brings me to loving and walking in the truth, the relationship between these two. Verse 3 says, "For I was very glad when brethren came and bore witness to your truth, that that is how you are walking in the truth." Now, it's interesting. I just said a few Sundays ago, talk about this whole thing that we find today in the postmodern world of your truth. And here we have the expression, you know, your truth. What does it mean? The problem is here, well, let me focus on the postmodern world first, is that for them there is no objective truth, only subjective truth. A truth that is based and formed and determined by your own personal feelings and your own preferences and your own opinions. Is that what John suggests here? Absolutely not. No, John says, "I am glad when brothers come and bore witness of your truth," in other words, of the truth in you. Not the truth that you are the source of, but the truth that is present, the truth that was given to you. The truth of Jesus Christ and His gospel. Gaius, like John, was the recipient of God's grace and mercy. And God revealed His truth in Jesus Christ to him as well. And it was present in him. How did those who bear witness of it, how did they know about it? They know about it because they saw it in his life. Listen to what is written in the last part of the sentence. How you are walking in the truth. You see, you cannot love the truth and not walk in it. If the truth is in you, you will also walk in the truth. That means the truth will eventually become visible in every aspect of your life. Again, you cannot say you love God and even say you love God's truth, but you don't walk in the truth. You don't obey the truth. You don't follow in the truth. Then John said, to affirm this point, "I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in the truth." That the things that they confessed, that there is also reality in their lives, that they apply these truths in their lives, that they live by these truths. That is how the church is supposed to live in this world. So let us draw a few conclusions and apply a few truths from only these verses so far. First of all, God's children are those whose lives were changed by the grace of God and experienced the love of God. We know Jesus Christ, the center of the gospel. That's who He is. We know He is the embodiment of the truth. He came and He revealed to us all the truth that we need to know about God. And now you are, as Paul said, somewhere else, a new creature. We are a new people. God's Spirit dwells in us and continues to guide us in the truth that God has given us for faith and life, as it is given to us in His written word. God's people love the truth because they know the truth. Remember, that is why we need to continue to be faithful in the studying of God's word, to increase in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in here is the problem today. So many who call themselves Christians today claim that they know the love of God, but they don't know the truth of God. And because they don't know the truth of God, they also don't walk in the truth of God. And so often Christians have a faith, hope, and love that is based upon their own feelings and their own whimsies. They seem to be ignorant to the source of truth, the Word of God, which Jesus Himself recognized as the source when He said, "Thy word is truth." John 17, verse 17. How could you do the right thing if you don't know from the Scripture what is the right thing? And along these same lines, we have a stream of evangelicalism today that denies that true grace will always prove itself in faith and works. That is the typical, that was earlier called the easy believism mindset. That mindset which suggests that as long as you intellectually believe, it doesn't even have to continue, and you don't have to continue to pursue a life of true happiness or true holiness in progressive sanctification. You can still be saved. And that is just absolutely not the truth. That is to cheapen the grace of God. That is to say, I accept Christ as my Savior, but I do not recognize Him as my King. I will take the salvation, but not His lordship over my life. Now, if you truly love God and His truth, you will make sure that you know it, and you will obey it. In other words, in the language of John's epistle, you will walk in the truth. Gaius was walking in the truth and was living it out. It was clear for everyone to see it. He was not an undercover agent for Christ. He did what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 5, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." And then He says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Is that true of your life? Is Jesus Christ your Savior and your King? Do you show to the world that that is your allegiance to Him? Or are you afraid? The undercover agent, kind of. No one should know that I'm a Christian. That's the last thing they need to find out about me. No, you cannot have Him only as Savior and not as King. And that brings me to the last point, walking in the truth, supporting the truth. Because that is not where our lives stop. John reminds us of something very interesting also in this passage, the responsibility that you and I have as God's people. If you look at what John says to Gaius in verse 5, let me just read it again. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, especially when they are strangers, and they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God, for they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. So not only was Gaius walking in the truth, he was also supporting the truth. So let us answer three questions. What Gaius did, the reason Gaius did it, and to what end Gaius did this. So what did Gaius do? He supported those ministers of the gospel who were traveling from place to place to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how did he support them? Knowing that these men became tired of their travels, Gaius acted and showed courtesy to them. Most likely, he took them into his home, let them refresh themselves, let them rest, gave them something to eat, and again, whatever he thought was good and was a way of kindness before he sent them on their way. John said he was acting faithfully. Why? Because hospitality is a virtue that God expects of all his children. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 9 says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And Hebrews chapter 13 verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. No. By his grace, and that's how you and I need to look at hospitality. God showed hospitality to us. God took us, when we were still strangers, into his household. And as followers of Christ, we must emulate his love and compassion when we show hospitality, not only to believing and fellow Christians, but even more so to strangers and the less fortunate. In fact, according to Proverbs 14:31 and 19:17, we honor God when we are kind to the needy. What was the reason that Gaius did this? This man, we could see, loved the truth. He walked in the truth, and he also supported, therefore, the truth that was spread by others. Verse 7 says, they went out for the sake of the name Jesus Christ. They did it for him. They did it with his strength. They told the world about him. Yes, they were God's servants, and we should welcome them for the sake of the one they serve. It's a great responsibility. Especially as this passage says, they did not take anything from the unbelievers. And in sharp contrast to that, we, the church, has that responsibility to take care of our pastors and our missionaries. It is the responsibility of the church, not of the world. And that was what Gaius was doing in a very practical way. Even amidst the opposition of Diotrephes, whom we will focus on next week. And to what end did he do this? Surely, in the first place, to glorify God, but also to confirm his alliance to the truth and to show his love for God and for God's truth. Verse 8 says, therefore we ought to support, continue to support such men that we may be fellow workers with the truth. Indirectly, when we support them, we work together with such persons. So often we think we must be in the front lines. Perhaps you always wanted to become a missionary or just to be on the mission field, but perhaps you were withheld from it. Perhaps your health or your circumstances prevented you from that. Here is a great comfort in this passage. In supporting those who love the truth, who walk in the truth and spread the truth. You are, by supporting them, co-workers with them in the kingdom of God. Are you willing to do so? If you love the truth, if you're walking in the truth, you will always find ways to support those who preach and spread the truth of God's word, even sometimes under difficult circumstances. We are called as a church to build our ministry always on the truth and on nothing else. Always. We saw that in the lives of these and other men who were loving the truth and walking in it and supporting it. That is what we are called to do as well. To resist those who want to come into the church to profane the truth, and to support those who spread the truth by showing hospitality to them and show them kindness in any way that could help make their ministry easier. Godly character and loyalty to the truth are never easy, but they bring God's richest commendations. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this piece of your word that so often we neglect to study. Thank you for the truth of the gospel that was embedded here, that we were strengthened again, Lord, through your word to continue to love you in a visible way, to continue, Lord, to be faithful to you and the means of grace that you have given us, that we would continue to study it, that we would continue to obey it, and so walk in it. But Lord, we also pray that you would continue to lead us as a church, that we will always have enough funds for the ministry of your word, here and in other places, that we would always be faithful to you as we support those ministries. Father, would you hear us now, and would you go and send, as you send us away, lead us to examine our own lives again, whether we are so often or perhaps too often undercover agents for you, instead of living as a light, as a city on a mountain. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing the songs of the Geddes. We go to all the world. It's a focus specifically on this unfinished task that we have to continue to spread the gospel into this world. So let us stand and sing, Facing a Task Unfinished.
Thank you.
Receive God's blessing and go from here in peace. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Is risen.